When we're getting angry, we will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. 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 Again, catch us if you can. Time to get a move on. We will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can.
FM powered by Golden IT. www.goldenit.net.au.
Congratulations, Rainbow Meats, winners of gold, silver, and bronze medals at the Royal Melbourne Show for their quick and easy pork. Create your own winning meal with boneless rolled legs of pork for only $9.99 a kilo. Swipe your Rainbow Meats loyalty card to go into the draw to win our brand new Toyota Yaris. See in store for details. Rainbow Meats, the healthy choice to eat. Camberwell, Chadston, Chernside Park and Caroline Springs. Call 1300-RAINBOW or visit rainbowmeats.com.
Sponsors of this station.
This is a 979 FM community diary.
My chance of finishing high school is 76%.
Mine's 31%.
My chance of living past 65 is 74%.
Mine's 25%.
My chance of getting a real job is 73%.
Mine is 54%.
You can be part of the Generation for Change to help end the disparity between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians forever. Go to generation1.org.au.
The 979 FM Community Diary. Simply fax details to 9747 0405 or send to PO Box 979 Melton 3337.
Become a member or subscriber of 979 FM and support the community radio station you are listening to. 979 FM has competitive rates of memberships and subscriptions. So inquire now by phoning 9747 0450 during business hours. Become a part of 979 FM today.
From pop to jazz, country to classical, you're listening to Real Variety, 979 FM.
Here on Back of the Net with Sean and George on 979 FM. Georgie.
Hello, Shawnee.
How are you, buddy? You're looking refreshed. The Hawks got up last night,
oh,
mate.
I was very happy last night, Shawnos.
You're looking absolutely pumped, mate. I'll tell you, it was a big win. We're going to talk about that, mate. You excited?
I'm pretty happy.
Are you smelling a grand final now? You're almost there, mate. Have you done it? Have you done it?
The job's not done yet.
Job's not done?
No, it's not done yet. It doesn't matter if you win or lose this game because you still get a second chance, as Collingwood do. The important game is in a couple of weeks' time now, and that's what it doesn't matter. The loser will not be remembered.
Week off, Georgie. The week off is massive at this time of year, mate. The bodies get a bit sore. They get a little bit of a rest, mate.
Yeah, there was a couple of niggling injuries, I think, last night. I'm not sure about young Brendan Whitecross. He might be out, but he might still be in. It hasn't come through yet, but I'm sure by the end of the weekend, all the injuries will come through. But the week off is very important for those bodies like Jordan Lewis, who missed with a hamstring complaint last night. So that gives him an extra week to get up, and then that gives a couple of other players who were didn't make the game a couple another week to get up as well. So
we'll talk
about
you're
right,
that.
It is important, yeah.
A half-strength Hawthorn team get up by 40 points, which we'll talk about. We'll dissect that game. We'll look at the other games this week, Georgie. Now, there's no Premier League on this weekend.
No, there's not.
But AFL Finals is here, so we're kind of lucky. We get something, you know, where we're missing out on the Premier League. We're getting the AFL Finals.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But Socceroos had a game during the week. We'll talk about that. We'll look at all the results from last week, Georgie.
Well, I'll go through some of the transfers that happened last minute last week. On the way to the studio, we were talking, and it was still filtering through. And unfortunately for us, we're only a dynamic duo here. We don't have the contacts quite yet in England to let us know about the... I'm sure we will be.
I think we do. We just don't like to brag. It's probably the best.
That's what you're trying to say. I probably know someone in England that could be a contact. If you want to go delve into that. But no, I'm sure that we'll eventually have something going where we can have someone reporting instant news, bang, from England.
Oh, that would be incredible. And Del Piero, the Italian superstar, coming to the A-League, Sydney FC.
We'll talk about what that does for the A-League. So
we'll talk about that. Georgie, over in the States, not a lot happening, but the NFL is back, mate. The first game of the regular season has happened. We'll look at that game, we'll have a look at the results, and we'll look at the games coming this weekend. So it's going to be a big week, but there is nothing bigger than AFL Finals in this country, Georgie. And last night, the Hawkers, as we mentioned. We need theme songs. Have you got a theme song?
I can't even sing, really. I'm not going to sing it. But
I didn't really want you to sing, mate.
So. you just don't want to hear the song because you're scared of hearing the song if we come up against you guys.
That
is a possibility.
We're going to hope that doesn't happen. Hawthorn 20-15-135 defeated Collingwood 15-7-97. Finals football, there is nothing quite like it, Georgie. Any sport in the world.
It was electrifying at the start last night, and all the players came to play. And from the kickoff at the start, you could see Tarrant went straight to Buddy and started trying to ruffle him up and trying to get him off his game. Now, is that sort of a relation to Tarrant saying to Buddy, I'm not good enough to beat you in the football, so I'm going to try to get in your head? I don't know what Tarrant was trying to do, but it sort of worked because it took Franklin a very long time to get into the game.
It did take him a long time. It straight away, like, if you haven't seen the game, watch some highlights maybe on there. We'll put something on our Facebook page because as soon as it started, Tarrant went to him. He was a bit of shirt punching going on, a couple of hooks, a bit of wrestling as well. We're going to talk about it. There'll be plenty of suspensions, I would have thought, money coming out of this game.
Yeah, a couple of little things. Probably Maxwell might get looked at and Tarrant will definitely get looked at.
So we'll talk about those incidents, Georgie, but finals football, just the way it's played, the pace, it's just another gear.
It is. Everyone steps up, and that's what makes the difference between the clubs that can do it and the clubs that can't. Geelong has been able to do it for so long in the last 6 or 7 years. They've stepped up and they've kept on going when the finals, they've found that other gear. Now, it's a question of whether the teams in the eight this year, like Adelaide haven't been there for a while, West Coast were there last year, but they haven't really done it consistently. Collingwood, we know, can do it. They obviously didn't show up to their best of their ability last night against the Hawks.
I think they did it last night. I think they were hard at it. They were physical, but they just weren't good enough. I think Hawthorn's actually just too talented. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But it's just another gear, and I reckon you're right. I don't know of teams who haven't played finals for a few years, like your Adelaides, maybe North Melbourne and teams like that. Yeah. They might struggle to match that intensity. It's a big step up.
That's going to be the test for these teams. Like even Fremantle, I can't really say that they've been in there at all throughout their whole short history in the AFL. So the times that they have been, I think they've got knocked out straight away. And yet again, they've got a chance against Geelong, which is tonight, and they can show that they can match it in the finals because that's what it was sort of like a one-man team over there with West Coast Eagles for so long. So
the pressure, the fumbling last night early on, it took about 15 minutes for either team to score. Hawthorn had the most of it early on. It just shows like these teams during the normal season are known for kicking high scores, and they've both kicked high scores again yesterday. But nearly the whole first quarter, nobody could kick a goal, couldn't buy a goal.
Yeah,
that's just the pressure of the footy, of the AFL finals. And then once you get into the game, you know, you work into it a little bit, that pressure drops down a bit, and then you start to see the skills start to
show more.
To me, mate, now Hawthorn are just the class above everyone else at the moment. The forward line is so unpredictable. I'll just quickly mention the goals. I was going to mention it a little bit later, but Franklin 4 and didn't really have a massive game. Like
yeah,
you said.
He was pretty quiet. Yeah, he sort of turned it on in the third quarter. There was a moment there where he got his hands on the ball a few times and he started working Tarrant over. I don't know. I saw at the start of that third quarter, Tarrant went straight to him and tried to ruffle him up again. But then Luke Hodge went over to Tarrant and gave him a bit of a grab.
Hodge is good at that. And he loves flying the flag for his teammate.
Yeah, he said, not this time, buddy. So I think that that helped Franklin. And he knew that he had the support of his mates because I think that they sort of left Franklin to go one out with Tarrant for a long time there. But then that battle started going into Franklin's favour. And then the Hawks obviously started winning the midfield. And then when those two combine, that's when the Franklin starts to get dangerous.
And just listen to the multiple goal kicks. So Franklin 4, Savage 2, who was a super sub.
Yep.
Hale 2, Bruce 2, Bruce has kicked 40-something goals this year. Where did that come up from?
Yeah, very good effort.
Rioli 2, Gunston 2, Hodge 2. Roughhead's not even mentioned in those multiple goals.
Yeah.
There's so many avenues for the Hawks to be able to kick winning scores. To me, they just can't be stopped. And I guess I'll probably bring it out now as well. Do they have a weakness? I know last night we were talking, Georgie, you reckon their backline's probably a weakness?
Yeah.
But is it a weakness? Because Gibson is probably one of the best pickups I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So he was good at North Melbourne when he played at North Melbourne.
Yeah, he's really improved even more as a footy player, as that man that, I don't know if you remember the player, the other Cloak brother that played for Collingwood when they were against Brisbane Lions in that era there, in the early 2000s, well, it wasn't Cameron and Travis. It was the other brother. What was his name?
I can't remember. His name actually does escape
me. I can't think of him now, but he was one of the best defenders in the league at that time because he was that third man that used to leave his opponent and then spoil the contest. And Gibson has become exactly the same player.
And you look at Collingwood in 2010 when they were so dominant and Harry O and Maxwell was so good at being that third man up and getting a fist to everything. And that's what Gibson's doing at the moment.
Yeah.
There's not a weakness in that Hawthorn side. You look at the midfield, obviously, with Mitchell, Hodge, Sewell. How do you beat them?
Maybe just pressure. If you pressure the Hawks, as you could see in that second quarter, I think Collingwood slammed on about four goals in a quick period of time. Jolly got his hands on the ball in the midfield. And then they went straight from the midfield, straight to their back line, and it was that quick kick in. If the teams are slow in building up against the Hawks, they tend to be able to man mark very well.
Yep.
But if the quick kick comes in, even if it's a bit of a hack kick into the 50 and they just bomb it in there, it sort of puts the backline out under pressure because they're not man marking and they're sort of looking at their man, they're looking at the ball coming in, and then one-on-one, Schoenmakers, not very good. One-on-one, Tom Murphy, not very good. One-on-one, the other defenders, Gibson even, not very big man, not very good in a one-on-one. But when it comes in slow and they can all leave their man and predict where the ball is going to go, that's when the Hawks are good at defending.
Well, Collingwood's multiple goal kickers, Cloak kicked 6 and he's back. Great performance by Cloak. Cracker kick 4. Good to see him kicking goals, and Wellingham had 2. So you reckon that big tall forwards, if you can get it in quickly to the forward line, the Hawks are, that's their weakness.
Very susceptible. And it's happened throughout this year. Every time that's happened, they've conceded big goals.
So if you look at teams in the 8, so Cloak and Dawes struggled again last night. Yeah. So maybe they're
He didn't do that badly last night, Dawes, but he just didn't have the impact that you'd want from that second forward.
Hawkins and Pods from Geelong obviously might cause, and they have caused problems for the Hawks. Walker and Tippett from the Crows. Sydney don't really have any recognised forwards as we've spoken about. I mean, Reed.
Yeah, Reed.
And you've got your Mumford and stuff that go back there with Adam Goods. But it's probably the only weakness, but it's not a big weakness. So I can't say.
As long as Hawthorn's midfield is helping the back line out by restricting the amount of ball that goes in the forward line, Hawthorn do have the quality to run over the oppositions. As soon as the game turned into the running game and an open game, Hawthorn looked better than Collingwood. But when it was a scrappy game and it was in tight and Collingwood had it on their terms, they definitely started scoring and Hawthorn didn't look as strong and they looked weak and Collingwood were piercing through the midfield and running through them because it was at their own pace.
Hawthorn had the better of the midfield, I reckon, anyway, Georgia. Here's some stats. Sewell had 32, Mitchell had 31. I was surprised when I looked at Collingwood's numbers. Pendlebury had 30, who played very well. Sidebottom had 30, Swan had 29, and Beams had 28. But I reckon those three players, they weren't damaging last night.
They weren't too damaging.
They struggled. To me, Sewell and Mitchell absolutely dominated the midfield, and you're probably right. That's probably why you guys had 35 scoring shots. How do you stop that midfield as well? You can't tag everybody. You've got Lewis to come back in.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you do? There has to be... Buckley couldn't do anything last night.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the thing with the hardened bodies, and we talked about that, I think, a few weeks back. When you've got those bodies in there that have been in the system for such a long time. Now, Mitchell, Lewis, Hodgie, all these players, they've been around for a long time. They've played in finals. They've played in grand finals. So, how many of those kids for Collingwood has Beams played in a final? I think he's played in a few. Did he play in the winning grand final? I think that was one. But if you look at the lists, Hawthorn has a vast majority of experience over the other top eight teams, as do Geelong, Collingwood over the other teams. So if you look at it at a ranking, it'd be Geelong, Hawthorn, Collingwood, and then it'd go downwards, and Adelaide would probably be at the bottom of the eight with Freo.
Let's go to a break, Georgie, but when we come back, I still want to talk about this game. A few more things to dissect, because I reckon you're right. That experience factor is going to be huge. Let's go to a break. You're listening to Back of the Net here on 979 FM.
Arise, Melton. Jesus is alive. Come join the congregation of Shoreway International Christian Ministries as we celebrate the wonderful power of God, healing the sick and setting the captives free.
Every Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Mountain Scout Hall, corner of Smith and Henry Street, in the vicinity of Council Offices, Melton.
International Deliverance Minister Dr. William Osagedi will be ministering to the needs of the people.
Proud sponsors of 979 FM.
So why not come down to the pool profs?
Carts, let's start again.
So why not come down to the pool proxy?
Carts! Amateurs!
There's no amateurs down at my pool man in Mountain South. Simply put, we're your one-stop shop for all your pool and spa needs, including free computer water testing for shop customers. My pool man, your local pool professionals. Proud sponsors of 979 FM.
Hi, this is Smithy. Join me every Sunday night between 6 and 8 here at 979 FM, where we play a bit of this, a bit of that, and a bit of the other. If you'd like to email me, Smithy with a Y, 979@hotmail.com, or on the phone, 9747 8500. Have a say in what we play here at Melton Community Radio, 979 FM.
Hi, I'm Drew Patrick from the Kangaroos, and you're listening to 979 FM. It's a beautiful day.
979 FM, you're on Back of the Net with Sean and George. Now, George, I just want to stay on this game just for a little bit more. I want to ask you a couple of questions. So experience in the finals we're talking about, massive. Obviously, Hawthorn, Geelong. That's why Geelong every year seem to just find a gear in September. Collingwood. Teams like Fremantle, Adelaide, North Melbourne, those three teams,
yeah,
they're going to struggle without that experience. But by being in the finals already,
that's the next step. Because if you look at the progression, how many times did Geelong get knocked out of the finals before they started winning?
Exactly.
They got knocked out by Sydney, I remember, where Nick Davis, the year before they got knocked out, I think, by St Kilda as well. So I think it was about 3 or 4 years, and then everyone said they're not good enough, they're not going to make it, get rid of the coach. The board had faith in Thompson at the time, who was the coach. They kept him on, and then he went further, and then he took him to the flag.
How many teams miss out on the finals and then the next year make the finals and win the grand final? Very rarely happens.
Yeah.
So automatically you look at Adelaide, North Melbourne and Fremantle, and you would say they've made the finals. Play as many games as you can in September, gain the experience. Next year, try to go one better.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you probably look at it.
And look at West Coast. They made it last year. They ended up playing Geelong. Geelong ended up winning the flag. When West Coast were playing in that game, I think halfway through the second quarter, it was even. Now, then that's when Geelong started kicking away. That's the experience factor. Geelong knew when to go or when to stay. And then West Coast got eliminated. Their season was over. But now this year, they've had another pretty good season. And they've done it without their main forward. And then this year, if they can take that next step and go further, like you said, one game more, and into a prelim maybe, that experience will count for next season as well.
Where to now for Collingwood? Now, I know you said you're not fussed, they lost, but to me, the week off is massive. Now, they'll probably beat West Coast or North Melbourne, whoever they play at the MCG next week, and then they'll play the prelim against either Adelaide or Sydney, who they've got the wood over. So you could still see Collingwood making the grand final. But if they got to the grand final, do they have enough in the tank to come up against maybe Hawthorn again?
Who are fresh
and get the job done.
But then that depends. If Hawthorn played Geelong, and you know the battles that they've had with each other, and they could have another battle and then a couple of bodies get hurt again, and then they come through like a massive test. Say Collingwood do get through next week and they beat either North Melbourne or West Coast, then they do it easily. And then they get through and then they beat the next team easily, and they've had two pretty steady games. And then Hawthorn, even though they've had a week off, just went through a wall with Geelong or even the other team that they might come up against. You never know what's going to happen. It's going to be even. That week off won't even count if the other team. So even, for example, say West Coast today give North Melbourne an absolute trouncing and they don't even work that hard, they're going to come up against Collingwood, who just went through that game with Hawthorn, pretty physical game, and West Coast will probably be more fresh, even though they're travelling down.
I agree with you, but every year that seems to happen. It's like one team has a bruising qualifying final loss, a team has an elimination final win easy, and they come up against each other the next week, and the team that's had the harder game always gets up. Happens every year, and I always think the same as you just said, mate. Why aren't they fresher? Why aren't they running over the top of them? So I don't know what it is. With the umpiring last night, I didn't think the umpiring was too bad. There was a decision in the second quarter.
It was the start of the third quarter.
It was, I think, Cloak took a mark in the goal square. Something happened in the middle of the ground, so the ball went back. Hawthorn kicked a goal from it. So it was a two-goal turnaround, essentially, and the lead was four goals instead of two goals. Now, Channel 7 didn't show the vision, which was surprising.
Yeah.
So you can't really make a call on it, which was actually disappointing by Channel 7.
Yeah.
Should be showing everything with the cameras they've got.
They should have definitely shown what happened, but I was listening to it on the radio at the time because I was on the way to one of the boys' house to watch the game, and the radio straight away said, as Cloak was lining up, Franklin's been hit. Franklin's been knocked over by Tarrant. They saw it. One of the guys, he was watching off the ball because they were watching that contest the whole night. I'm not sure who the commentator was. It could have been Gary Lyon, but he picked it up and then straight away got reversed. And then they heard audio from the umpire, because umpires are mic'd up.
Yeah,
and the umpire said, Franklin off the ball, downfield.
Yep.
So obviously something happened. Franklin went up the ground chasing the ball, and then in the middle of the ground, Tarrant came from behind him and maybe gave him a push. Could have been soft as butter, who knows, but off the ball, you know the umpires are hot on that. And That's what happened.
I'm just worried that an umpiring decision could affect this year's final series, which we don't want to see. Just before we move on to the previews of the games for the rest of the round, Hawks, couple of injuries. You're not too concerned. White Cross looks like he's done his ACL.
Yeah.
That's a big loss. Obviously, Young missed last night with a calf, and hamstring was for Lewis.
Yeah.
But they should be back.
They should be coming back, yeah. And then also Cole Cheney is on the cards to come back. And for big man, unless they might want to change it up and add an extra big man, McCauley has been performing well in Box Hill. So he's been looking good, and so has Max Bailey. He could be another option forward also. So the Hawks do have soldiers to come in if their men do get shot down. But it's going to be interesting now to see what tactics they use and who they come up against, because the odds are that they probably will end up coming up against Geelong. So you'd want hope that they, it doesn't matter who's on the pitch, the 22 players are switched on and ready to go against that team, and that's what's important.
They've so far done what they've needed to. They're in a prelim final. They'll have a week off, which is massive. Let's preview quickly the games for the rest of the round, Georgie. Starting today, Adelaide and Sydney. I'm pumped up about this one, as
yes,
you know.
Yes, you are excited. You're fidgety today.
I'm nervous. I'm buzzing around.
You were saying last night you're not sure, but I told you not to worry. It's at home. And I think all over the pitch, Adelaide have the winners. From the back line, with Talia, the NAB Rising Star, congratulations
to
that young man. He beat, I think it was Jeremy Cameron from
GWS.
Cameron did miss about a quarter of the season, so he probably could have won it, depending on the voting, but Talia has had an outstanding season for his second year in AFL footy, taking the best defender almost every week and done a great job. From the back line to the midfield, Adelaide is stronger than Sydney, I think, on the ground, and then that being in Adelaide, I really don't see many Sydney supporters being there, and when that ground is buzzing and everyone's behind the Crows, they just can get a run on, and I could see them running all over Sydney on that bigger ground, because as we know, Sydney play the SCG and that other stadium, I think ANZ Stadium, very well. It's tighter, but on that big ground over there in Adelaide, Shawnee.
Did you see the choir, Georgia, at the Adelaide airport? That's embarrassing.
I'm not sure what they were thinking.
What are you
there.
Doing? You're adding fuel to the fire.
You're giving them spirit.
So a group of older Adelaide supporters, probably fair to say.
Senior citizens, perhaps. Yeah.
Perhaps, decided to go to the airport and sing the Adelaide Crow theme song to the Sydney players.
As they rocked
as
up.
As they were coming off the plane.
Yep.
Silly.
Very silly.
Don't know why. But I am worried about this. Obviously, I reckon Goods might have a big game today. With Grundy out from the Swans, Walker and Tippett really need to have a big game for the Crows to get up.
And it's important for Walker to have a great game in the finals, because as we can see throughout the year, players play well and then it gets to the finals and that it gets a bit tenser and some players just can't hack it and they don't do the job in finals. One of the classic examples is Leon Davis. Neon Leon from Collingwood, every year dominated. Then it got to the finals.
Couldn't do anything.
He was missing. You literally couldn't see him. So Walker needs to have a big game, and that will do massive amounts for his confidence. Even if, like we said, Adelaide lose this game, they're going to get that experience and that intensity, and the next game that they play, it will be at home as well. You'll probably almost put your house on that next game. Whoever they come up against, they'll probably win that one anyway.
This is almost an elimination final, though, Georgie, because the loser would have to probably come up against Geelong.
Geelong or Freo.
And then if you beat Geelong or Freo, you'd have to face Hawthorn in a prelim at the MCG.
Yep, that's happening. Like the bad end of the draw.
Your tip? I'm just trying to get the theme song, Georgie.
What's that theme song?
Can you hear that?
Are you telling me that you just
found... that's enough. I just found that. I was just trying to get it going. You couldn't get the Hawthorn one. I thought we would get the Adelaide one.
No.
Rocking, mate.
You should have tried to find the Hawthorn one first.
Oh, no, it's gone. No other songs are getting played today.
We're not
that's
even
it.
Talking we're, about it.
What, it's about Adelaide now, all right? Now, I reckon Adelaide should get up at home, hopefully by a couple of goals and no injuries. Your tip?
Adelaide.
Adelaide as well?
Adelaide for me.
Next game should be a cracker as well. These teams hate each other, Georgie. Geelong and Fremantle.
Yes.
Bit of niggle. Stevie J is missing this game.
Yeah, he's missing, but there's a bigger out for Fremantle, and that's McFarlane.
All Australian, probably fullback or
centre-half. Definitely,
centre-half-back.
Yeah. And who's going to take Hawkins now? My mate.
Dawson. Not Zach Dawson.
Zach Dawson will be man-marking Tommy Hawk. And... I really can see a bloodbath in that forward line tonight.
Do you give Fremantle? They've been pretty good this year.
The only way that I can see that Dawson will beat Hawkins is if he does what Tarrant done to Franklin last night.
And just wrap
just
him up.
Just get in his face. But then I could also see Hawkins taking his head off.
Hawkins is about double his size.
He's about the size of a bus, and Dawson's built like Gumby. So,
for me, this is going to be the blowout of the finals first week, I reckon.
You reckon that they're going
to... Fremantle have been good. Ross Lyon has experience, so I'm sure he's going to be hard to coach against.
Yeah,
he's
got good tic-tacs.
For the Scott brother down there. But he's got good tic-tacs. He does. I just don't know. I can see this getting ugly. Geelong are in form. Fremantle, Zach Dawson's probably the only one that's had a lot of finals experience with the Saints.
Yeah, that's right.
Geelong by about 65 points.
Oh, geez.
That's big.
That's a big margin. I reckon I'm tipping an upset for some reason. I have a feeling.
Fremantle.
I have one of those feelings, Shawnee.
All right, so when Georgie gets these feelings, here on Back of the Net, we get him to do stuff. So, if Fremantle beat Geelong,
I'll buy a Zach Dawson jumper.
All right, you heard it here first on Back of the Net. If Fremantle beat Geelong, Georgie will be wearing a Zach Dawson jumper next week. Come down here to the studio, check it out. It'll be incredible. We'll get it on our Facebook page. I'm now going for Fremantle. Fremantle by 65 points. Hopefully should get it done.
I hope they don't win now.
And last game of the finals, West Coast and North. North just dramatically... went from about 5th to 8th because of a loss to Freo and then couldn't belt GWS. They look tired. Do you give them any chance over there in Perth? On a Sunday arvo, 29 degrees, thank you very much.
No chance. Not the travel. If it was back in Melbourne where they played that Eddie had probably better than anyone this year, you'd probably have to back North Melbourne. But the fact that they have to go over there and West Coast haven't been even... they've been playing pretty well, to be honest. They were in a bit of a lull period where, and they were just winning games, but they've been playing pretty well. And I think they've been building up to these final series all year from last year. And like we said, they were there last year, so they know what to expect now. And I really can see, like how you were saying, that it's going to be one-way traffic. This will be the one-way traffic for me.
This game,
and West Coast are going to absolutely terrorise North Melbourne.
I reckon the winner...
But it's not that bad for North Melbourne, because they're there. They made the eight. No one expected them to make the eight when they lost by 120 points against the Hawks.
They were copping the early
in the year. They were 10th position. Then they went on a 9-game winning streak, and you could see that the team there is a good team. So don't be disheartened, North Melbourne fans, if you go down to West Coast, because that's probably one of the toughest trips in AFL footy, because next year you will probably be back and even better. So,
and just quickly,
I just really can see West Coast winning.
Just quickly before we go to a break, do you reckon the winner of this licks their lips, looks at Collingwood and say, we're going to have a fair dinkum crack at the MCG?
Yeah, definitely. Week. Yeah, and if it's West Coast, and what happens today should happen, and they should beat North Melbourne comfortably, they'll go in with a lot of confidence, knowing the war that Collingwood just went through. And West Coast have been there on the big stage. They've won a grand final. It was only about 7 years ago. The team has changed.
That's the Adelaide Crow theme. Not again. Sorry, George, it was my phone. It just went off. I didn't know what to do.
Please.
There we go.
You're embarrassing the station, mate.
Let's stop at 979 FM. Let's go to a break. You're listening to Back of the Net.
Serving the community. This is 979 FM.
More than 2,000 years in the making, and here in Melton, ready to serve you, Melton Chinese Medicine offer more than just the basics. We offer a full range of options, including acupuncture, cupping, herbal remedies and acupressure, to treat a list of conditions with the secrets of yesteryear. Centrepoint Arcade in High Street, we're ready to serve you. Melton Chinese Medicine, proud sponsors of 979 FM.
Haircut Junction, the latest installment.
Meet Cheryl.
Hi!
The last time we met Cheryl, she was the life of the party. Now she's getting ready for the date of her life with Johnny.
I've got a fab dress, fab shoes, now for the fab hairdo.
At Haircut Junction, Cheryl got a stylish cut. Now her date with Johnny is off to a great start.
Haircut Junction at 50 Darlingsford Boulevard, 97430264.
Proud sponsors of 979 FM.
979 FM, you're on Back of the Net with Sean and George. That's it for AFL finals.
I'm glad that we stopped talking about footy finally, because if that theme song came on one more time, I probably would have lost myself.
Don't put it past me that I won't play that one more time just before the show's over. Right, no, I won't.
I'm going to confiscate your phone like a teacher does.
I promise you I won't, mate. Hey, soccer. Premier League, big week. It's not on this week because of international friendlies and then World Cup qualifiers for Europe,
World Cup
believe.
Qualifiers, yeah.
What have you got for us this week, Georgie?
All right, I've got some more transfers. The last transfers before the window closed. This happened last week, pretty much. Right at the end of deadline day. One of the most biggest days in Premier League and around the world. I've got the Premier League transfers. I can go through more transfers for anyone that listens to the show. If they want the Italian League or the Spanish League or German League, the Bundesliga, if anyone wants those details, I can put up a massive sheet on Facebook. So you can go to the Facebook and check out the other leagues.
Facebook.com/backofthenetfm.
Yes, go to that site. I'll be doing that today, because there's just not enough time to go through all the players that have moved and swapped and that. So that's why we concentrate on Premier League, because that is predominantly the league that the viewers listen to. All right, so this is what happened last week. Villa picked up a forward, Christian Benteke from Genk, 8.8 million. Now, Villa not looking that great at the moment. You're saying that you're thinking that they'll probably be in a relegation battle. I hope not. I like Villa. My mate goes for Villa. And every time that they play, we like join together and I become a Villa supporter.
And we like Villa because of their history, but like teams like Blackburn and stuff that have fallen down.
Exactly.
I think they might be in trouble. I reckon they're going down that path.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And with the new manager, and ever since Martin O'Neill left, who's now the coach of Sunderland, they haven't found that consistency that you need to survive in the Premier League. But they've picked up a few good players now. They've got some forwards. They've got some good midfielders. So hopefully they can start working out their tic-tacs better. Anyway, Man City, we said that they haven't really bought many players. They bought Rodwell, and we said, is that it? Rodwell. Then under the radar, they went and signed three players. Yavi Garcia from Benfica for $20 million. So that's one of the biggest signings for the whole summer. He's that player. He's a gun midfielder.
Why
expect
do you
him
think?
To be a holding midfielder, Because I think that De Jong, the Dutch international, has gone out of favour there.
Why do you think they were trying to keep it under the radar and leaving it all to the last minute?
Well, they wanted to see what the other teams came up with. They probably had these players on the radar. Excuse me. But they probably had these players on the radar the whole time, but they didn't want to do it instantly because they maybe wanted to see what the other teams came up with. And if there was another player that a team was going for, they might be able to sneak him and buy him. So it's always an option like that, like what happened a lot of times, say Man United is going for a certain midfielder or Arsenal's going for example, Santi Cazorla. Arsenal were going for him. They were going for him the whole time. Then at the last minute, Man City make another bid on top of what Arsenal make.
Arsenal
steal that player
Arsenal
off.
Arsenal can't compete
Arsenal,
with it.
They can't compete with it. Now that happens a lot of times, and that's a very good ploy by teams. And then that player can go to another team because they want to move to England, obviously, but it doesn't matter which team as long as they get the money. So maybe that's what they were waiting for. Who knows their plan, but Xavi Garcia is a very good player and he'll be a holding midfielder and he'll be probably starting 11, probably work his way into the team to begin with. And he'll help out in the midfield along with Yaya Toure. So a good pickup. And Maicon is a right back from Inter Milan, 6 million. They picked up, I think, a backman. He's a Serbian defender. Mateja Nastasic, his name is. So we all know Vidic. He's been one of the greatest players for Man United.
For a long time.
For a very long time now. And this kid is apparently like him. So if that is the case, they paid 15 million for him. And he's only young.
A lot of money.
So that's a lot of money. So he must be promising. QPR picked up a couple more players. Now, these guys have been throwing money around like Man City, as we know. So they picked up Granero, Esteban Granero from Real Madrid, 8 million.
8 million.
And the Cameroon defender, Steven Mbia from Marseille, for another 6 million. So their squad is looking very promising.
And that's now, on top of all the money they had already spent, which we spoke about.
Yeah, we spoke about that. So that's pretty good by Mark Hughes. He's gone out. He's got a squad now. Let's see if he can put it together.
Yep.
If they don't start winning games, he was outie. So
pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm putting money on that. Southampton have picked up a forward. Gaston Ramirez from Bologna, 15.2. I don't know how Southampton found that backing. I really didn't think that they have that kind of money to buy a player like that, because that's a lot of money spent by a promoted side. 15 million, that's got to be one of their biggest transfers in history, I'd say.
Yep.
Even they were in the Premier League in the mid-90s, but not recently in the last 10 years, they would have bought a player of that sort of money. So they've gone out and they've made a big play there. He's a good player, Gaston Ramirez. Michael Owen has gone to Stoke.
Yeah, has he officially gone to Stoke?
Yeah, it's completed. Yeah. Yeah, it was speculated that he might be going to Liverpool. Back to Liverpool, because as we know, Liverpool made the strange decision of getting rid of Andy Carroll on loan at the last minute to West Ham last week, and he played brilliantly for West Ham.
It's time to vent, Georgie,
because
Carroll's a good player.
Carroll is a very good player, but he just never got given the chances there at Liverpool.
And
I'm a Liverpool, passionate Liverpool fan, as the viewers may know, and they make decisions like this, and they sell players and buy players, and then you wonder why. Like, they spent in combined total on Downing and Jordan Henderson about 35 million. 35 million could have gone and bought you Hazard.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like, a player that's come over. He's dominating.
He's absolutely killing it. Now, there's Downing. You paid 20 million for that guy and you're persisting with him. You could see he's not that good. Now, don't get me wrong. He might turn around his form and start playing brilliantly, but for 20 million, he's got to start kicking over 10 goals per season and make plenty of assists. He's done neither. 20 million is a lot of money.
Fail.
A big fail. Like Aquilani.
They've made a lot of strange decisions, Liverpool, and even with the recent transfer market, didn't really go after anyone.
Yeah, they didn't really go. They picked up a couple of players. Like, they brought in Barini, who, of course, Brendan Rodgers worked with Barini in his past clubs.
Yep.
Like, two of his past clubs. So, obviously, he's a player he knows well. But if you're going to get rid of someone like Andy Carroll, that guy's like, he's basically like a full forward. If no one knows Andy Carroll's size or what he looks like, he's as big as Travis Cloak in soccer. He's a man mountain.
It's like, we'll take Cloak out, put him on loan, and we'll bring in Mumfries and let him play full forward.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's pretty much like doing.
The phones are ringing. Now, we haven't answered a call before, Georgie. Should we try to do something? 979 FM, you're on the air.
How you going, boys?
Jazz, I can hear. I wonder if our listeners can hear.
First time caller, long time listener.
First time caller, long time listener.
It's good to hear.
Thanks for giving us a call. You're the first ever caller we've officially had. Now, you're a St Kilda supporter, I believe.
Yes, very frustrated one.
Is it disappointing missing out in the finals after, obviously, the last 4 or 5 years you've been very dominant?
It is very disappointing. It's good to see a lot of the young kids coming through that Scotty Waters has produced, but to see how we go next year, I guess.
We've actually talked about that this year, Jazza, that I'm very pleased with Scotty Waters. He's brought in those young kids, and he's blooded more kids this year than the last coach has in these last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, well, you know, just see what happens, I guess, you know. Can't really jump off the bandwagon now, I guess, so I'm a paid-up member myself, so, you know, it's just good to support the team, you know. It's very important for the clubs to have all the membership, I guess, so.
That's it. And who's your tip for the grand final this year, Jared, after seeing last night's game? Hawthorn in the prelim. Who wins it for you this year?
Definitely a dominant display by Hawthorn last night. They're going to be very hard to beat. But, you know, a couple of injuries, so hopefully they don't suffer any more and, you know, they can get the job done. That's who I'm tipping for the flag.
That's a good tip for me.
Well, there you go. Our first-time caller, Jared, calls up. He's placed Hawthorn as his tip. Let's see how he goes. Jared, thanks for calling, mate, being our first caller. Keep listening to Back of the Net, buddy.
No problem, guys.
Cheers, mate. See ya. There you go. There you have it. Our first-time caller ever just calls in, just wanted to get involved, Georgie.
That's good. So we're going to get more of that happening because we've been on air for a while and we thought that we'd start interacting with our viewers more often. So next week, you can expect a few or more of those callers.
There you go. It's all starting to happen. We don't need that mobile. People can
I'm glad that he didn't give me a pasting about bagging Liverpool. That's what I thought was about to happen.
Well, I can see over the next couple of weeks, we'll start, you know, we'll get a bit more confident with the phone people coming in. I can see you copying for some of your comments with Liverpool and probably mine because I'm anti-Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen there, mate.
Someone will get angry. But that's what we want.
That's what we want.
We want people to get in our faces.
Back to the soccer, Geordie. Yeah,
all right. So there's only a couple more. And talking about another failed Liverpool, Charlie Adam, he's gone to Stoke for $6 million. So we bought him for $9 million, sold him for $6 million like a year later. Yet again, there's another $3 million down the drain.
You're basically giving away money. You're saying, you're here you go. Take your money. Go. Away yeah. you go.
There you go. Because he wasn't happy there. He didn't look like he was going to make a role there with this new formation that Brendan Rodgers is playing. So, anyway, Stephen Nzonzi has moved also to Stoke from Blackburn for 4.4. That is good value. He's a brilliant midfielder. That's like someone that one of those teams have to go for. Those Stokes and the West Hams are defensive midfielder that can also pop up forward and kick a goal. And the last one, Tottenham has signed goalkeeper Hugo Lloris from Lyon for $12 million. So, Robert Green, he left West Ham on a free transfer to QPR to be the number one goalkeeper. Now, they were happy there, and Tottenham now have Hugo Lloris. So, I don't know where the money's coming from, Tottenham. They've spent a lot of money.
They've got a lot of money, and, you know, they've been successful over the last couple of years. Now, something off topic there with Tottenham is I don't think AVB is going to work for them, Georgie. We just spoke about this last night.
We were chatting about the way that his tactics are.
So, with AVB, obviously, he was at Chelsea last season. He was woeful. He lost his job. And as soon as he was gone, Mancini came in.
Yeah, Roberto Mancini.
Mancini came in and took Chelsea from where they were.
They looked like they were going to get eliminated from the Champions League.
And they obviously won the Champions League. And now AVB goes to Tottenham, and I think they've got a point or 2 points out of their first
three
games.
Yeah, they drew a couple of games.
You still think that he's a pretty good coach and he's got the style for the Premier League?
Yeah, he does.
I'm just not there, mate. Not there yet with it.
You got to think about the last jobs that these managers had, and they try to keep their same mentality going. So where was AVB? He was in Portugal. He managed the team. He had certain players in certain positions, and he's trying to do the same thing at Tottenham, but those players aren't the same. So obviously it's not working. Now he was playing 4-3-3 last week, and it didn't look like they were going to score at all. Then all of a sudden he changed it at halftime to 4-4-2. That's the formation that they're probably used to. Tottenham have been playing that formation, and then all of a sudden they looked dangerous and they scored. Dembele, the recent transfer that happened last week, he came off from the midfield, went up forward in that, you know, attacking midfield role, and then he scored the goal and they were leading. And they just looked like a completely different team. They looked more confident. So it's AVB's decision.
He needs time. He needs obviously time to go in there and play the way he wants to play.
Yeah, is he going to try to continue to change them and play that 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1 formation like what he wants to do? It's up to him if he sees that team playing that well, or if he's going to say, this is not working, I need to stick with what I have, stick with 4-4-2, what these guys are used to, and that's maybe going to be the best thing for us.
Teams are spending like crazy. It's been an interesting start to the Premier League, Georgie. We'll go to a break in a moment. Let's just quickly have a look at last week's results in the Premier League. West Ham beat Fulham 3-0.
Yep.
So after an impressive start by Fulham, they've fallen away in that game.
And Carroll dominated in that game.
And West Ham looking good.
Yeah, West Ham, they've got a lot of good players. Vaz Tay, one of the young stars.
Swansea 2, Sunderland 2.
Good game.
Swansea continue their impressive start.
Very impressive.
Haven't dropped a point yet, I believe, George.
No.
We had them for relegation, though. They might still end up there, but they're doing everything right so far. This one disappoints me. West Brom 2 beat Everton 0. West Brom totally dominated. Very hard to beat there at the Hawthorns.
Yep.
Must be that name, mate. Don't like it. It is haunting me at the moment. Tottenham and Norwich 1 apiece, as we've just spoke about, with Tottenham having another draw. Wigan 2, Stoke 2. Now, I thought this would be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I know. Everyone predicted a 0-0 draw, like with Stoke, as we know. But it looks like now they're sort of changing their tactics, and they've picked up a few players, and they thought, why not? We can actually come out and we can play as well. We don't need to defend. We can actually play. And then they had a pretty open game, both sides. So it's good to actually see this, that maybe this year, because the other teams have picked up these quality players, they picked up some attacking midfielders.
You're forced to attack.
Your fans, the people that come and watch, they want your team to come and play. They don't want to sit there and watch you defend and hack the ball out for 90 minutes. So it's actually a very good thing what's happening. And Wigan have come out and they're doing the same thing this year. They're trying to go forward and trying to score because they know that they'll end up down the bottom.
They did that towards the end of last year when they won like 5 out of 6 games.
Yeah, that's
because they attacked and they beat good teams.
Yeah.
So, Georgie, let's go to a quick break. After we come back, we'll review the rest of the games and we'll talk about the NFL as well. You're listening to Back of the Net here on 979 FM.
Whatever you're looking for in life, Cavalier Homes are ready to assist, whether it be a first home, second home, or 10th home. With our wide range of plans, styles, and options, we have a home to suit all tastes. We can even build from your dream home plan. Cavalier Homes, real homes for real people. Head on down to our display homes at 207 Bullmans Road, West Melton, Saturday to Tuesday, noon to 5 p.m. Proud members of the 979 FM sponsorship family.
Bring something sparkling into your life today from Proud's Melton. At only 107 years young, we're our local stop for jewellery to suit every man and woman for all occasions, from birthdays to weddings and just that little thoughtful gift on the way home. Proud's Melton at Woodgrove Shopping Centre. Bring the sparkle back into your life. Proud sponsors of 979 FM.
Keep in touch with your local footy competition, the Ballarat Football League, every Saturday from 1 p.m. right here on 979 FM. Tune in for games featuring your favourite local teams, including Melton, Melton South, Darley and Bacchus Marsh. There's regular score updates from other BFL games, BFL Netball, the AFL, plus Len Baker's harness racing tips from 1:30. The Ballarat Football League on 979 FM. Local footy at its finest.
Hi, I'm James Hurd of the Essendon Bombers, and you are listening to 979 FM.
I'm still here. I'm still full of the Holy Grail.
979 FM on Back of the Net with Sean and George. Georgie, let's keep reviewing these Premier League games, mate. It's good to see teams attacking. Man City 3, QPR 1. Obviously, Man City still very hard to beat. I thought QPR would have been... gone into this game with a little bit of confidence after the end of last year. Obviously,
don't let the scoreline fool you in this game, Shawny.
It
was actually a very good game, and they probably had a couple more chances than the scoreline shows. So that's unfortunate when it comes to the soccer scoreline. A lot of times you'll see 3-1 or 3-0, and it's not a true indication of the game. Like that third goal for Man City happened right at the end. QPR pushed pretty much everyone forward, and Man City, as they do counter-attack brilliantly, and then they ended up scoring. So it was really 2-1, and QPR had a few chances near the end to draw. So just like the next game, the Liverpool and Arsenal game. Now, Liverpool, as I've talked about...
I was hoping you were going to let me read that score on air, Georgie. I know you didn't want me to, and that's why you rushed in. Yeah, let me just say it. Arsenal 2.
No.
Liverpool 0.
No.
It's good. Keep going. Sorry, I just had to say it. It was good.
All right. You're happy now, mate? You're rubbing it in even more.
Liverpool's struggling.
Very frustrating to see your team do so well in the first 35, 40 minutes, but can't put the ball in the net. Then you get hit on the counter. It was a Steven Gerrard mistake, which cost them the goal. Miss a cued pass, and then they just broke with pace. And I don't know what happened to this player, but Diaby from Arsenal, he really, in that midfield role, just dominated the whole game. Never really rated him as a player. Thought he was a bit gangly. And he doesn't really look like a player, but when he had the ball, he'd done the right things with it.
But with the players they've lost as well, he needs to step up. And I think he's doing that.
He's doing that, exactly. So it's good for him. It's good for Arsenal. And Podolski looks like he's going to be a very good player. He was working up and back as a left winger. Brilliant effort by him. And then on the other side, you had Oxlade-Chamberlain. Arsenal have a still very strong squad. Arteta in the midfield there. They got Giroud. He hasn't really fired yet, but that guy looks like he's moving well. He looks like he can create a target. He's a big, big forward. So Arsenal fans are looking promising this year.
Man United 3, Southampton 2. Southampton have started pretty good.
Yeah, very well. They've
kicked some brilliant goals against Man City and Man United. Couldn't get the job done again, but... Man United have started the season probably a little bit slowly, but they've got 6 points from three games. Yeah. So
if Southampton continue to play this way, they're going to probably beat all the teams around them, and that's all that matters to survive. If you beat your opposition, those are the games that you don't pencil in. At the start of the year, the teams would go through, they'd look at their fixture, they'd say loss, draw, win, loss, draw, whatever they look at. And probably when they looked at the start of their season, they saw Man City, Man United. Then they come up against like Wigan. So they'll say loss to them. They predict what will happen and they'll say, we want this amount of points by this point of season. So if they keep on going the way they're going, they're going to beat the Wigans. They'll probably beat all the other teams around them and they'll probably sit comfortably mid-table.
That's their goal anyway. They did lose a game to... Who was the game they lost after the Man City? Was it Wigan?
I think it was one of the low teams.
So they're the games they need to win.
Yeah, exactly.
And the last game of the round, Newcastle versus Villa, won apiece. Big point for Villa.
Yeah.
I still reckon they're going to be struggling to stay up, but that is a big point away there at Newcastle. So Socceroos played a game during the week, Georgie. They played a friendly against Lebanon, won 3-0. It was a much better performance than the 3-1 loss to Scotland. But still, obviously, Lebanon aren't a well-known team. Scotland aren't really a well-known team, but they're obviously a lot better than Lebanon. Cahill kicked a goal. Mackay kicked a goal. And Archie Thompson kicked a goal. But Bresciano, brilliant again.
Yeah.
Georgie was fantastic. But it's a shame that he's mid-30s almost.
By the time the World Cup comes on.
And this is the problem, because there's still no new blood being...
I don't know why you wouldn't play players against Lebanon like the likes of Tommy Orr and, you know, the Sporanovicis and the players in the A-League, those young kids that look promising, get them in there. Just
give Chris Hurd a game. Don't come out and say, no, I've watched Chris Hurd, he's not good enough to make the team at the moment, when Scotland want him.
Yeah, Scotland want to play him.
Just give him a game so then they can't take him. You don't have to play him later on, but if he plays one international game with Australia, he can't go and play for Scotland.
He will. You watch him go to Scotland, then he'll stick it up us when Scotland start playing good soccer.
Well, if he can't get a game against Lebanon, he's going to struggle. I hope he does. He's been injured a few times, but he's doing good things for Villa. So, concerned about the Socceroos, Georgie?
I just want him to start playing some young kids, because if this squad makes it, yeah, congratulations, they've made it. But what are they actually going to do with 35-year-olds running around over there with the other teams? You got Belgium, an up-and-coming country. All their squad's like 22, 23 years old. By the time they get to the World Cup, they're going to be pumped up and full of confidence going in. Our players will be walking in with crutches.
That's what it's going to look like.
It's going to look absolutely silly, all these old players, but you never know what can happen. As Greece have showed, if you go in with the right strategy,
anything
can happen. But I really can't see the likes of a 35-year-old Lucas Neal trying to defend a 26-year-old Hazard from Belgium or someone from Brazil like a Lucas Moura, who's only 20 years old now, worth about $30 million that's gone to PSG, running circles around our defenders and dribbling, who's going to catch him? Definitely not 35-year-olds.
World Cup qualifier coming up against Jordan. I think it might be this weekend when all the international qualifiers are on. Must get the points.
Must get
the 3 points because we're struggling. Now, Georgie, NFL. It's
hit
started.
The American sport.
It's here, mate. The NFL has started. First game was midweek. Dallas versus the New York Giants. Obviously, the Giants last year's defending champions. Dallas have beaten them, mate, 24-17. Romo, the quarterback who was dating Jessica Simpson, I don't know if you remember.
Yep.
Dominated 307 yards and 3 touchdowns.
So the key word there was dating.
I'm not sure, mate. Have they had a baby together?
Oh, maybe. I'm not sure.
Don't know. Maybe.
I'm not really.
Do you reckon he just...
I don't really read Guess magazine and all that stuff.
Oh, LA Hollywood or anything like that.
Maybe he practices with the baby.
Well, he's played good, so maybe he's been throwing the baby. No, he wouldn't be. 307 yards, 3 touchdowns. Manning, the quarterback, obviously, for the New York Giants, who was just instrumental in that Super Bowl last year. 213 yards, but 1 touchdown. Murray had 131 rush yards for Dallas. Bradshaw had 78 yards for the Giants. So you could just see it. Dallas was just a bit cleaner with the way they, I guess, possessed the ball and made their runs. Good win for Dallas first up to beat the defending champion. Dallas Cowboys are obviously always a good team. Very good. Now, looking at the games this week, Georgie, there's a few of them. I'll quickly go through. I'm going to give my tip. So Indiana versus Chicago. Chicago for mine. Philly versus Cleveland. Philly for me. St. Louis versus Detroit. Detroit every day of the week. Get on Detroit right now. Thank you very much, Georgie. I want you to come in with a Detroit jersey one day. I'm sure you're going to. Miami versus Houston. There's so many games. I'm getting out of breath from all this, Georgie. Atlanta versus Kansas City. Atlanta. Jacksonville versus Minnesota. Minnesota for me. Washington versus New Orleans. New Orleans, even though Washington have got the new quarterback from the draft last year. Buffalo versus the New York Jets. Now, this is Tebow's new team. Whether Tebow will start as the quarterback or not, I'm not sure, Georgie, but I'm going to go for the Jets because I reckon he will. New England versus Tennessee, New England. Seattle versus Arizona, Arizona.
Is this in 1 week?
This is in 1 week. This is all the teams that play, so
that's
this is
insane.
The round.
There's so many teams.
They've got so many states. It's just crazy.
51 of them, I think.
San Fran versus Green Bay. This will be an absolute cracker, but Green Bay will get up for mine. Carolina versus Tampa Bay, 0-0 draw. That's going to be an absolute... fizzle that one. Pittsburgh versus Denver. Obviously, Denver, they let go Tebow. I reckon Denver will get up. Cincinnati versus Baltimore. Baltimore for mine. And the last game of the round is San Diego versus Oakland. And San Diego Chargers should get up in that game. Georgie, so the NFL is back. And we'll keep you up to date with the scores over the next couple of weeks. Now, in the NBA, not much has happened. Just a couple of big headlines, Georgie.
Yep.
The Memphis Grizzlies, they've recently got a new owner. And there's somebody who apparently is going to buy into that ownership and be a part owner of this team. A young man by the name of Justin Timberlake.
No way.
He's going to be possibly an owner of the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, he's from Memphis. I think he supports the Lakers because he's been living in LA for so long. But rumor has it that he's going to buy a chunk of the Memphis Grizzlies and be a part of that.
So does that mean that he can throw his own money and buy players and et cetera like that?
That's what they can do, yeah. So on how much he can afford, and I'm sure he's probably got a little bit to stash away.
I think he's got a tiny bit of money there from some of his record deals and et cetera.
But if it goes sour, I hope he doesn't cry me a river.
That is brilliant.
That was terrible. And just one other news item as well. I don't know why, but Shaquille O'Neal, the big fella, 40 years old, might be playing in Mexico for a season.
Yeah?
I didn't even know they had a league in Mexico, to be honest.
Mate,
but
he would eat a lot of enchiladas, I'll tell you that.
He's a big boy, Shaq.
He's massive.
He's one of the biggest guys I've ever seen. And he'll probably go over there and dominate still. So Shaq goes to Mexico, I'm sure all of a sudden people will be watching that Mexico league. Major League Baseball, just who's winning their division so far because it's still a long season. Baltimore on 77 wins. Chicago Sox, 74 wins. Texas, 82 wins. Washington, 85 wins. Cincinnati, 83 wins. And San Francisco, 77 wins. Two teams I didn't mention that aren't winning their divisions. Two of the biggest teams in baseball, Georgie, obviously the New York Yankees and the LA Dodgers, but they're right there as well. So when the final series kicks around, that's going to be interesting to see who can get up to the World Series because obviously, as we've said, has to be a World Series even though it's just America involved.
That's right.
And before we finish up, Georgie, the US Open's on at the moment, mate. Roddick's retired. Andy Roddick, I love the A-Rod.
He had a bit of attitude, didn't he? I liked A-Rod. He had the rocket serve and he was good and he dated a few hotties. So and congratulations to him.
He used to come to Melbourne. He used to get involved with the people. He used to go near the Crown to get involved in the poker there.
He was an all-round good guy, wasn't he? But a very angry man on court.
He's had a terrific career. So well done to Andy Roddick. Now he's bombed out, unfortunately, but he has been sensational. And this is probably the big one. Federer has bombed out in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yep.
Djokovic, it's your title to lose now, surely.
Yeah, Djokovic is he's better than Federer, you reckon, eventually? I reckon no one will beat Federer. He's just a freak, isn't he?
I think when you look back, like Federer is 30 years old and he's still finding – he's not winning as much as he used to, but he's still finding a way to win the old championship here and there. So – to me, he's still probably – I reckon he's the greatest tennis player ever, and I know it's hard to compare.
We all know that Agassi, when he was about that age, he started playing his best tennis of his career. So if that's the case, then Federer still has a lot of tennis behind him. So
– you reckon he can go to about 35?
He could probably still keep on playing. He's a freak.
It's been another big week, Georgie.
It's been a fantastic show, Shawnee.
Thanks for today. Let's get on board the Adelaide Crows today, Georgie.
Yeah, I'm on board. I'm going to go wear a scarf.
Is this after you buy your Zach
Dawson? That's happening tonight. We're not even talking about that until tonight.